Hey everybody, it's Brian. I have to admit, I never really considered getting my master's because I thought it would be restrictive on my career, which I know sounds counterintuitive, but really, I didn't want to stop my progress in my career to get my master's. But the world has changed. Master's programs are more flexible than ever, and they can really vault your career forward. Just check out Georgetown, for example. It used to be if you wanted a master's from Georgetown, one of the best schools in the world, you had to relocate to Washington, D.C. But now, Georgetown offers a part-time master's in sports industry management that is ideal for working professionals, offering flexible options to take classes online, on campus, or through a combination of both. So you don't have to interrupt your career to earn your degree. And I'm telling you, I've considered it. The program prepares you to excel in the global sports industry by learning the communication, business, and leadership strategies that will position you for success. To learn more about this program, visit scs.georgetown.edu/workinsports. One more time, visit scs.georgetown.edu/workinsports. All right, let's start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hey everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, VP of Content and Engaged Learning at workinsports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. I have to apologize for no episodes last week. I failed all of you. I was at the National Sports Forum in Atlanta last week, and I have to tell you, it was a great event. Now, I'm not a huge conference goer. I don't do a lot of that throughout the year, but this was pretty cool. Lots of learning opportunities. Tons of sports business professionals. I booked a ton of new podcast guests and got out of my comfort zone and networked. There were so many networking events. It was crazy. I did not prepare myself for the length of these days. There'd be a morning super panel, then all these breakout sessions and the trade room, trade show floor where we had a booth. And then I'm, you know, another set group of sessions. And then you'd go to, you have a dinner break, and then you'd go to like Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and there'd be this huge networking mixer out on the field, which was incredible. And you're there with like 1,000 other people in the sports industry, and you're like, all right, got to get out of my comfort zone, got to talk to people. The next night, same thing, big long day, but then we went to State Farm Arena where the Hawks play and had a big networking event there. And then after these networking events, it's like in the hotel lobby, there's still hundreds of people out there until 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, it is crazy. And I know, I got out of my comfort zone and actually went up and talked to people a lot. And I didn't die. Who knew? Yeah, it worked out. One other note I thought of and wanted all of you to do. Well, a couple things first. I am a little bit under the weather. So there is no more annoying sound than somebody sniffling. This is like my biggest pet peeve in the world. You hear somebody sniffling and you're like, that's the most annoying sound in the world. Worse than fingernails on the chalkboard, if you ask me. So I'm going to do my absolute best not to sniffle, cough, or do anything. But if my voice sounds a little bit weird, that is why. I'm a little bit under the weather, but I could not miss another week with you guys. So here I am. Now, before we get into this week's fan question, one other thing I noticed from National Sports Forum. Now, trust me, I noticed a lot of things, but just a couple things I want to share. There were about 1,000 people at this conference, which is a big number. That's a lot of people. And there was this huge hall where they had almost all 1,000 people packed in to hear Arthur Blank, owner of the Falcons and Atlanta United, speak, right? This great little interview session with him. And I looked around and thought, wow, this is a lot of people hanging on his every word. There's 1,000 people in here, all sports business professionals, listening to everything Arthur Blank has to say. And then it dawned on me, every week, twice a week, we get about 2,000 of you listening to every one of our episodes. Two of those huge conference halls packed with all of you, our listeners, happens every week, twice. And it made me feel extremely grateful. Like I'm sitting there in the back of the room watching this thinking, this is a lot of people. And if you doubled this room, that's how many people listen to each one of our episodes. So it made me feel really, really grateful for all of you. Gave me a lot of perspective on the impact we're trying to make. So thank you. Thank you for listening and sharing and trying to learn and improve yourselves. I'll tell you what, I guarantee I learn as much from all of you and from all of our guests as you do from me. So thank you. All right, enough sappy stuff. On to today's question, which comes in from Spencer via LinkedIn. And if you have a question that you want me to answer on a future episode, message me on LinkedIn. It's the easiest way to do it. There are other ways, but that's probably the best. All right, here's Spencer's question. Hi, Brian. I'll be graduating in May with a degree in marketing. Congratulations, Spencer. I have also been a four-year student athlete, which has consumed most of my time, meaning I do not have much internship experience, only 8 months. Some of the positions I have applied for respond saying the lack of experience is an issue. Is there anything you recommend for a student athlete with a 3.7 cumulative GPA in their job search in college professional sports? Thank you. Spencer, this is a great question and one that I get a lot. And I want to dig into it because I have a lot of thoughts on the subject. And let's be really clear here. Even if you aren't a student athlete, there are a lot of things that are going to come up that are going to help you as well, but in this conversation, and there are a lot of you that fit that same mold. Like, a student athlete has a hard time doing internships because their time is taken from them doing something else. Well, there are a lot of you out there that are supporting yourself through college. You know, you're putting yourself through, you're having to work a job to make money to pay for college or other, you know, things, or you're supporting a family member or whatever it may be. And you also might struggle with getting the internship type experience. So listen up, because all this stuff is important for you to listen to and try to apply to your life as well. So let's start with the basics and then grow from there. Spencer, the reason you're feeling frustrated is actually pretty simple. I'm going to explain to you how this works and why you're hitting some brick walls. I've been in charge of hiring, and there's been multiple times in my career that I have been, what would generally happen is you write up a job description, right? You put together all the skills that you want, a basic job overview, and you write down like 10 different skills that you want to have from this job, and you submit it to your human resources department. And this is the way it works with every team, organization, agency, huge firms, whatever it may be, right? They write up, whoever the hiring manager is, writes up their job description, writes up their expectations, what they want, the skills they want to have, and they submit it to the HR. And HR companies use a site like ours or others that they go out to and say, hey, I'm looking for people that match this skill profile. Or they go to their own database and they say, hey, we have a bunch of these people have submitted their resumes. Let's go through and look for people that fit this skill profile. And if they have 10 skills listed, well, they're going to find people that have, you know, 7 out of the 10 skills from a filtering search, and then submit those resumes to the hiring manager and say, hey, start here, right? That's what used to happen to me. I would submit a job description with the skills I needed. HR would go out and get me the initial grouping of 50 to 100 resumes, sometimes 20, whatever it may be, that fit the skills that I needed. So what's happening with you, and the reason that you're having this problem, is because you're not getting through that initial filter. And I have to be completely honest. I don't always love these initial filtering processes because they do scan out a lot of people that have a story to tell. They filter out a lot of people that were a student athlete, or that are supporting family members, or that are paying their own way through college, or may have been in the military. And you're getting them filtered out when they could be incredible potential laden people who just need an opportunity. They might have every skill you need, they just haven't had it in an actual sports workforce. So there's a downside of all these filtering systems. That's a downside of all the applicant tracking systems and what have you. But that's why you're getting frustrated, is because you're not standing out to them, because you're not hitting those keyword metrics. So knowing this, and knowing that you're not going to stand out in a traditional way of a student that has gone through 4 years of college and done 5 internships and has all these different experiences and did volunteer and informational interviews and blah, 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 because you were doing other things, you have to look at it and say, I have to go about this differently. I have to change my entire process. The only way I'm going to stand out is for other things. So what are those other things? What do you lean into? Well, number one, okay, and this is why I love to get to student athletes early, right? I don't want to get to you right before you. Now, Spencer, you're graduating in May. We've still got a few months. That's good. You're in season right now, because I did follow up with Spencer, and Spencer is on the men's golf team. As a matter of fact, I think he said he was at a tournament this weekend. He's in season. He's competing. He's out there. Now, this is why I like to get to student athletes early. Your job search starts early, and it starts with networking. You have leverage that other people don't. Being a student athlete gives you access to people and decision makers that normal everyday students don't get. You have to leverage that. You have to use that. So I don't mean just on campus, but that is part of it. Okay, so if you want to work in college sports, You have access to your athletic director. You have access to your associate athletic director of marketing. You have access to the people that are connected to sales, that are connected to marketing, that are connected to compliance, that are connected to fundraising, because you're a part of their program. You need to leverage that, get in with them, understand how their world works, job shadow, interview them, volunteer for whenever you have time to get in there, because again, your doors are open because you are an athlete in their program. But let's go even one step further. In your local area, and I don't care what sport you play. I don't care if you play Division I football or if you play water polo in Division III. And that's no diss on water polo. I just was the first other sport I could come up with because it's off the top of my head. And I didn't want to say dressage, which is an equestrian thing, I think. Anyway, you have leverage in your local area when you're a student athlete because local businesses love student athletes. A lot of people played high school sports. A lot of people didn't play college sports. They view you as something special and unique. You have an opportunity to get in front of brands and decision makers early in your career. You need to reach out and do informational interviews. You need to go and get to know these people. You need to target businesses in your area and make it known through LinkedIn or whatever it may be. You are a student athlete at, well, I almost said a school. I think it's probably okay that I say a school, but I don't like to describe people too clearly because people tend to like to be anonymous. Anyway, you need to reach out to business decision makers, whatever field you want to get in, and start to leverage the fact that you are a student athlete and make connections that way. Get in touch with the leaders out there. Be visible. Leverage the fact that you're a student athlete and you're performing and you're playing in tournaments and you're doing things that they only dreamed of doing. You are, okay? You're getting to do things they dream of. Especially Spencer, who's plays on the men's golf team. Like, hello. Every major decision maker at every Fortune 500 business happens on golf courses. Of course, they're going to want to, you know, talk to you or hang out with you or get coffee with you or meet you or get a tip from you and give a little something to get a little something, you know, offer, be creative, offer to, you know, go to a local green and do some putting demos with them and just be able to pick their brain over that about the business world, like exchange your skill sets. I don't care if you play basketball or if you play something else, like there are ways to leverage your abilities, your strengths to get to know people and show yourself. And think about how this is going to help you. Now, when you're applying for jobs, if you know someone at the organization, especially someone in a decision-making role, you don't have to pass the skills test by the filter because you have connections. That gets you on top of the pile and gets you considered, right? That's important. But then, you know, your resume may be a little bit lighter, which is why I want to get into the second thing, is that you need to lean into your special skills, and especially as that goes to your cover letter. Okay, your cover letter is your secret weapon. It is your weapon of choice, really. Your story being a student athlete isn't about the things you couldn't do. It isn't about not doing internships or not getting experience. It's about the unique things that you were thrust into a position that you had to do. Your special skills. Lean into those. Leadership, time management, coachability, competitiveness, teamwork, how to handle pressure, maturity, dependability, time management. I think I said time management twice. But think about these things, okay? As a student athlete, you are thrust into a position where you lead. That is a skill people want in the workplace. So on your cover letter, tell me a story. Tell me a story about leadership. Tell me a story about how the team was behind and you did something to motivate people or get them together. Or there was a freshman you were trying to help build up and you worked with them because you knew they'd be important to the overall team. Tell me about time management, about how you have to train, about how you have to practice, about how you have to travel, but you were still able to get a 3.7 GPA. Tell me about a time you were coachable, that you were kept making the same mistake and your coach worked with you and said, here, try this, and you were able to change and do better. Talk about being competitive, like being way behind and trying to get yourself back up and fighting back against adversity, working as part of a team, dealing with pressure. These are things employers want. And most people can't quantify them. Most people can't tell these stories. Most people cannot articulate this soft skill value. You can. You have a story to tell, so tell it. don't talk to me about what you don't have. Talk to me about what you do have and why that is special to them. I tell people this all the time. When you have your LinkedIn profile or you have any way that you communicate with the outside world about yourself, don't make it about what you want. Make it about how you can help them. And if you tell your story of being a student athlete and talk about some of those soft, special skills that I was just mentioning, you tell that story and how that will translate to helping them in their business, that speaks volumes. So my point is, you kind of play the 8 mile game in your cover letter. Have you ever, I hope people have seen 8 Mile. If not, it's not a great movie, but it's Eminem and I kind of dig it. So I've watched it probably too many times. Not a great movie, but good soundtrack. Anyway, in 8 Mile, he's got a rap battle in Detroit. Makes sense, right? He's got a rap battle, and when he gets up there in the final rap battle, he starts out by basically saying exactly what the other person's going to say. And then they're left with no material. So he says like, yeah, I know I'm like a short white guy, and I know this, and I know that. I know you're going to say my mom's trash, and I know you're going to say this, and I know you're going to say that. And then when the other guy goes, Papadou? Yeah, I think that's his name. Anyway, Anthony Mackie, I think, is who that was. And I think he is now the Falcon in the Marvel movies. This is called a tangent. Thank you. As they go to do the battle, he's like, I got nothing left to say because you just took all my material. My point in this, in a very long-winded way, is that in your cover letter, you can kind of do that. Like, hey, I know you're going to look at people that have more experience than I do. I know you're going to see somebody that has 8 internships on their resume. But can they do this? Did they ever experience something like that? You know, you need to tell your story of value, and that's a good technique to do it. The fourth piece of advice I have is to consider starting in sales. Now, almost every single salesperson I've ever interviewed or talked to. Now, first off, almost 50% of the jobs in sports are in sales. So it's a great landing point, especially because the line between sales and marketing is extremely blurry. The two things are almost identical and the transition is easy. So if you start out in sales, it's an easy way to then get into marketing later. But once you prove you can generate revenue for an organization, that goes a long way in your career. Now, why do you want to consider starting in sales? Well, because every salesperson I've ever talked to, and I've talked to lots and lots and lots of them, say they like to hire people based on having it and their potential and their coachability and their teamwork and their competitiveness and all those soft skills I was just talking about. They're not looking necessarily for crazy amounts of experience. They're looking for moldable pieces of clay. And by being a student athlete, I've known so many student athletes that have gone on to work in sales and had to be the perfect fit for them and a perfect starting point, because the sales teams are looking for people that are competitive and that want to lead and that can deal with their time. And, these are all the skills that they're looking for. They're not looking for 18 internships and tons of certain experiences. They can train you on all that. They want somebody that's got it, and student athletes have that, right? So consider that as a pathway. And I'm telling you, getting in, starting, and then pivoting afterwards is totally normal. You don't have to have an entire career in sales. Start out there. You may love it. You may want to be there forever. Or you may say, this is great, but I'd like to really pivot into marketing. Well, you're in the building. Now you can. You can talk to the right people and move up from there. And the fifth thing I want to say too is you got to find the right culture. There are a lot of companies out there that look for student athletes, they're not looking for the skills profile. Like I said earlier, when I was hiring, I would definitely look for a skills profile. I liked that. That was my technique. But there are a lot of companies out there that say, I'm not looking for experience. I'm looking for people that have an it factor, that are going to fit our culture. They're going to fit in around here and make everybody better. That are going to really embody all the spirit and culture that we want to have here. So it's on you to find those companies and understand them. And if you listen to enough of our podcasts, you listen to enough of our guests who represent just about every organization there is in sports, you're going to pick up on that. You're going to hear their voices and understand how important culture is to them and know that that's the right type of organization to look to. So I hope that helps, Spencer, and anybody else out there. Remember to lean into your unique skills and attributes rather than trying to walk down the same path as everybody else. You're different. Everybody's different, right? You're not going to follow the same footprint because you have a different set of experience and perspective. Blind resumes and applications won't work as well for you because you won't pass the skills filter. You need a new way, which is what we're talking about. So don't be afraid to think differently. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. On Wednesday, Brian VandenBosch, who I met at National Sports Forum, it was an incredible interview. He is the Minnesota Twins' new business development manager, which means he's out there drumming up new business for the Twins, leading a team of staff. And I didn't cough or sneeze this entire time or sniffle, but my voice does sound kind of cruddy. I'll try to make it better for Wednesday's episode, I hope. But please tune in and listen and keep growing our audience here. I love having each and every one of you. All right, everybody, get back to work.